إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His aid and ask His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our sins. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is in ourselves. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide him. And whoever Allah causes to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and He has no partners. I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the worship and the final messenger of Allah. Amma ba'd fa inna khayr al-hadithi kitabullah. Thereafter the best of speech is the book of Allah. Wa khayr al-huda huda an-nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the best of guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَإِنَّ الشَّرُّ الْأُمُورُ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And the most evil of affairs are those matters which people have innovated and introduced into Islam. Every innovated matter is a bid'ah. Every bid'ah is misguidance. Every misguidance only leads to the fire. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته. O people of Iman, fear Allah as He ought to be feared. ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. And do not die except in a state of being Muslims. عباد الله إخوة الإيمان. We are living, these days which we are living, they are blessed days. The month of Ramadan, which Allah has honored us and blessed us that we are able to live in these days. And these days, they are merely a few hours, only a few short days, and then they will disappear just as they came. And Allah described them in the Quran. He said, Ayyaman ma'dudat. These days, the days of Ramadan, Ayyaman ma'dudat. There are a few days. A small number of limited days. So yes, whilst these days are blessed, however, at the same time, they are small and little in number. And a Muslim who is successful, he should learn the lessons from the previous year and how quickly Ramadan went. So Ramadan, it is like a guest. And this guest comes and knocks on our doors. And this guest, when it comes to us, brings many benefits and many glad tidings, many gifts. And this guest only comes once in a year. However, the guest does not remain for too long and goes very quickly. So the guest, meaning the month of Ramadan, it stays for a short amount of time. It leaves very quickly and then it returns very slowly. And there is no Muslim who has the smallest amount of Iman in his heart except that he loves Ramadan and he misses Ramadan and he is happy and rejoices with the return of Ramadan and he is saddened when Ramadan goes. Rather, every Muslim who has in his heart the slightest amount of Iman, he finds himself in need of Ramadan. He finds himself poor to Ramadan. And this is because in the blessed month of Ramadan, the sins are forgiven. And the righteous deeds are accepted. And the reward for every deed, it is magnified. So the Muslim loves Ramadan. And he misses Ramadan. And he wants Ramadan. Rather, he needs Ramadan. He is poor for Ramadan. And therefore, when Ramadan comes, the Muslim who is successful, the Muslim who has been guided, he exploits and uses this opportunity for his sins to be forgiven and for his deeds to be multiplied. And this blessed month, the month of Ramadan, it is the month of ibadah, the month of worship. Shahru taqwa, the month of taqwa. Shahru du'a, the month of du'a. Shahru istighfar, the month of seeking forgiveness. Shahru dhikri wal Quran, the month of remembering Allah, the month of reciting Quran. Shahru sadaqa wal khair, it is the month of charity, it is the month of goodness. Shahru barakati wal rahma, it is the month of blessings, it is the month of mercy. Shahru nawafil, it is the month of praying nawafil. In fact, every act of goodness in any other month, then the month of Ramadan is more worthy of it. And therefore, we must strive and we must try hard to please our Lord and to develop at-taqwa. And Allah said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people of Iman, kutiba alaykum al-siyam, fasting has been obligated upon you. Kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum, just as it was obligated upon those who came before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, so you may have at-taqwa أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Then Allah reminded us, only a short amount of days. From 360 days, only 30 days or 29 days. And the virtues of Ramadan are many. The virtues and the rewards of fasting are a lot. And perhaps you have already heard of some of the virtues and the rewards. And throughout the month you will hear of the ahadith and the ayat. However, from the correct guidance of giving a khutbah is that the khatib, he should advise the people in those matters in which errors are occurring. There's mistakes which are occurring generally amongst the Muslims. These mistakes, maybe they have become widespread. Sometimes a person thinks something is good but it is wrong. Or there are mistakes which are occurring in our own masjid, amongst our own people. Of course, out of forgetfulness or ignorance, people wanting goodness, but maybe they are falling into mistakes. So the khatib or the imam, the guidance for him is to remind the people, and that we advise each other as Muslims, and we correct our mistakes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 3 times, he said, "Ad-deenu nasiha." Ad-deenu nasiha, ad-deenu nasiha. This religion, it is sincere advice. This religion is sincere advice. This religion is sincere advice. Qulna liman ya Rasulullah. We said, O Messenger of Allah, sincere advice to whom? He said, Lillahi, wa li kitabihi, wa li rasulihi, wa li rasulihi, wa immatil muslimina wa ammatihim. Advice for Allah and His book and His messenger and the imams of the Muslims and the common Muslims. And we are the common Muslims. So that the mistakes which are occurring, whether it is in our masjid or amongst the Muslims, some of these mistakes, they go back to fasting itself. And other mistakes go back to zakah. And other mistakes relating to the prayer. And other mistakes relating to the etiquettes of the masjid. So with regards to some of the mistakes which are taking place with regards to fasting, is firstly the wasting of time. That a person in the month of Ramadan spends his or her free time in watching movies or films or dramas or listening to music, and rather a person should use this opportunity and leave those matters so his sins are forgiven. And a person should use all of his time, his free time, in worshipping Allah, in reciting Quran, in making dhikr, dua, reading beneficial books, remaining in the masjid, spending more time in the masjid than he would normally do, coming to the gatherings of knowledge, and so on and so forth. From the mistakes which occur in the minds of the people with regards to fasting is that they treat fasting to be something which is done for health. They think that the objective behind fasting, it is for good health. So it's as if the objective is that I'm going to lose weight, or it is a detox for me, or it is a good diet. And the narration which is mentioned, تَصُومُوا تَصَحُّوا, fast and you will have good health, this is a weak narration. This is not attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And fasting has been legislated for taqwa, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, for ibadah, to please Allah, to rectify our hearts, to rectify our souls, not for the body. In fact, even leaving food and drink, this isn't the objective. This is only an avenue to rectify the heart. Yes, fasting has its benefits. It has its health benefits that Allah is most knowledgeable regarding. And some of the non-Muslim doctors, they have now found these benefits. But this isn't the objective which enters our mind. From the mistakes which are made during fasting is that a person is reluctant to use the miswak, or to rinse the mouth, or to brush the teeth, and all of these matters are permitted. But a person should not be excessive. So rinsing the mouth, brushing the teeth, using toothpaste, using the miswak, all of these are permitted whilst a person is fasting, but without being excessive. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, وَبَالِغْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ, that excessively rinse your nose and rinse your mouth, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا, unless you are fasting. So if you are fasting, carry on rinsing your mouth or using the miswak, but do not be excessive. From the mistakes which occur with regards to fasting is that people become lenient when it comes to the time of suhoor. And maybe the adhan has been given, or the time is shown on the calendar, or even a few minutes have gone and a person will carry on eating. And a person is lenient about this. And he thinks this is only an estimate. And this isn't correct. Because Allah has legislated that we should stop eating as soon as it is dawn. When Tulu' al-Fajr happens, we have to stop eating. Not even a minute more. And in those times, in the early times, when the Imam would give the Adhan, or the Muaddin would give the Adhan, and we didn't have calendars or exact times, then maybe sometimes there was some leeway. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا سَمِعَ أَحَدَكُمُ النِّدَى, if one of you hears the Adhan, وَالْإِنَاءُ فِي يَدِهِ, and the glass or the utensil is in his hand, فَلَا يَضَعْهُ حَتَّى يَقْضِيَ حَاجَةُ مِنْ, then he should not put down this utensil or this glass until he has fulfilled his need. The ulama mentioned that this was in the time in which the muadhin would give the adhan and we didn't have clocks or calendars or timings. They would look outside and perhaps there's a few minutes of leeway. Maybe he gives it a few minutes early. Maybe a person isn't quite sure. But now with the times and the clocks and the calendars in which the time is exact, or the other meaning is that if the water is in his mouth and the time has come, he should not spit it out. He's allowed to take it in, or the morsel of food. But when the time has come and the calendars are exact now, then no more eating or drinking should take place, and we should not be negligent or lenient regarding this. From the mistakes which are taking place in fasting is that people take the suhoor very early. So maybe 2-3 hours before Fajr, they will take the suhoor. And they do this so then they can sleep. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسِ بِخَيْرِ مَا عَجَّلُوا الْفُطُورِ, people will always remain upon goodness as long as they do iftar quickly. وَأَخَّرُوا السَّحُورِ, and they do sahur late. Meaning they do sahur right at the end of its time. And the other thing which this leads to is that maybe a person takes sahur early and then he sleeps throughout Fajr. So he misses the Fajr prayer. And the one who misses the prayers and fasts, maybe this is a reason for his fast to not be accepted. He's fasting but he's not praying. Maybe his fast is not accepted by Allah. And there are those amongst the ulama who say that this is kufr, leaving the prayer. So we have to attach importance to following the sunnah in delaying the suhoor to its last time and praying Fajr, and that we don't miss the Fajr prayer. Then there are other mistakes which happen with regards to az-zakah. So from the mistakes which take place is that people are lenient with regards to zakah, or they delay giving zakah, or people think that zakah can only be given in Ramadan. Zakah is given any time throughout the year as long as the conditions are fulfilled. The reason why many Muslims give it in Ramadan is for extra reward, that the reward is multiplied. But generally speaking, whenever the conditions are fulfilled any time in Ramadan, then zakah should be given. The second mistake with regards to a zakah is that people give it towards the masajid, or they donate it towards an extension, or a school, or a hospital, or for example towards da'wah, or the printing of Qur'ans, or anything which is similar to this. And this is not correct. And the zakah is not accepted. And if anybody gave zakah like this, either he must take the wealth back and give it to the right people, or he still has to give a zakah, and that is only charity. So as zakah, it is not given to the masajid, it is not given in da'wah, it is not given to buy a Qur'an, it is only given to 8 specific types of people whom Allah has mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah. Zakah is not given to the relatives unless the other conditions are fulfilled. Allah said, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ. Sadaqat meaning az-zakah, it is for the poor people who have nothing. Wal-masakeen. And then the needy people, they have something, like we have relatives in Pakistan, for example. Our relatives, they have some wealth, but it isn't enough for 6 months or 5 months, or maybe they have a house, but they cannot feed their family. Zakat can be given to them. Why? Because they are masakeen. Wal-amilina alayha. And zakah can be given by the Muslim government, by the Wali al-Amr, to those people who are in charge of taking the zakah and distributing the zakah. وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And zakah is given to those people whose heart we want to soften towards Islam. Maybe a non-Muslim is about to accept Islam, or a new Muslim who has just entered into Islam, we give them some of zakah. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. And it is given to the Muslim slave so he can free himself. وَالْغَارِمِينَ. And it can be given to that Muslim who is in severe debt. He's overcome by debt. وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And in the path of Allah, meaning al-jihad fi سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So fi سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ does not mean the masjid or the mushaf or da'wah. It means al-jihad fi سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ. And it can be given to the traveler who has no money and he's stuck away from his family. Pay attention, brothers and sisters. Even an orphan, zakah is not given to an orphan. Because an orphan is somebody whose father dies and he's under the age of 16, under the age of puberty. Perhaps his father died and he left behind much wealth for him. Zakah is given to an orphan when he is faqir or miskeen. So the thing that we look at is he a faqir or a miskeen? Not the fact that he is an orphan. We have orphans, maybe the orphan is a millionaire because his dad left behind inheritance. And also when it comes to, for example, giving zakah to buy something with it or to dig a well, then this is not correct. The money is the right of the poor person. So the money has to be given for the poor person. And we cannot make a decision on behalf of that poor person that we're going to build a house for you or we're going to dig a well for you. But if it is seen that it is from the benefit of the poor person, then it can be done so. Meaning, there is a group of poor people and around them is a flood. If you were to give them money, they cannot do anything with it. There's no shops, there's no roads, but we know that they need food. In this situation, we give food. But the asal is that money is given to the poor people or the other 7 types of people. And then there are mistakes which are occurring in the salah, in the masjid. First of these mistakes is those people are praying on chairs. We have to pay attention that when you pray on the chair in your fard prayer, you only sit on the chair for that thing which you cannot do. Meaning, a person is able to stand, a person is able to make ruku, but he cannot make sujood or sit. So he stands, he makes takbiratul ihram, he stands, he recites the prayer, he stands and he makes his ruku. And then when it comes to his disability or weakness, are you making sujood, then he sits down. And when it comes to tashahud, then he sits down. So a person shouldn't sit for all of the prayer if he's able to do some of the prayer. Whatever you can do normally, you do normally. And that which you cannot do, then you can sit down. Especially takbiratul ihram. If a person can only stand and make takbiratul ihram, then he does so and then after this he can sit down. Also pay attention, my brothers, to how your feet are placed upon the earth. Sometimes, whilst people are sitting on the chair, their feet are crossed or they are propped up, or they are off the ground. And this is not the way to pray. So a person only sits on the chair according to that which he cannot do. Also, from the mistakes which occur in the masajid is the raising of the voice when it comes to the recitation of the Quran. Perhaps it disturbs the other people and those who are with you. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَلَا يَجْهَرْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ بِالْقِرَاءَةِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, that you do not raise your voices over each other whilst you're reciting Quran in the prayer. So if we are not allowed to raise our voices in the prayer when reciting Quran, then out of the prayer we're not allowed to. Meaning we don't compete with each other in raising our voices. Also from the mistakes which occur in the prayer or occur in the masjid is people raising their voices when it comes to talking. Especially before the prayer or as they are leaving after Jummah, this often occurs. And of course nobody does this intentionally. And we constantly forget. And perhaps even me, I will fall into it in a few weeks' time. But the obligation is we always remind each other, we always give nasiha with good words. And it is narrated that Umar radiallahu anhuma, when he heard some two men, when he heard them raising their voice in the masjid, he called them. And he said, Min aina antuma, where are you both from? And they said, Min at-ta'if, that we are from Ta'if. He said, Lo kuntuma min ahlil balad, had you been from the people of Medina, la awja'tukuma, then I would have punished you. تَرْفَعَنَّا صَوَاتَكُمَا فِي مَسْجِدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, you raise your voices in the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if it isn't permitted to raise our voices in the prayer over each other and then in Quran over each other, then when it comes to talking or joking or talking about the dunya, we should not raise our voices. And this occurs, and it occurs without intention, without any ill intent, but we remind each other. From the mistakes which occur in the masjid is people coming to the prayer wearing clothes which are not appropriate. Wearing tight clothes, tight trousers, being extravagant and excessive when it comes to dressing in the Western way, wearing shorts, t-shirts which are tight, t-shirts which have pictures of people on them or signs on them or very coloured and things like this. So the asl is that when a person comes to the masjid, he wears the appropriate clothing, and especially the clothing of the Muslims. But if a person is working, or a person is outside, was going to town, was wearing trousers, baggy trousers, not tight trousers, and he comes to the masjid, then there's no problem in this. But as for shorts and pictures and tight clothing, then this is not correct. And Allah said in the Quran, Ya Bani Adam, O sons of Adam, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ, beautify yourselves at every masjid. Meaning beautify with yourselves with the Islamic clothing. Also, from the mistakes which are occurring in the masjid is sitting on the chairs, i.e. outside of the prayer. And people have become lenient with regards to this. So much so that you may say, see a child sitting on the chair and the father is sitting on the floor. This is incorrect. Or the people are sitting on the chair and the imam is on the floor. This is incorrect with respect to our imam. Or the students are sitting on the chair and the sheikh is on the floor. Or the young are sitting on the chair and the elderly is sitting on the floor. These types of mistakes we have to teach our children. That you're a student of fulan, sit on the floor, and if he sits on the floor, do not sit on the chair and your father is sitting on the chair. These manners, these etiquettes we have to teach our children. So we shouldn't see in our masjid that the chairs at the back are taken up by children. And also, أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. One of the mistakes which is occurring in the prayer is when it comes to people raising their hands for the takbirat. The sunnah is that the hands can be raised to three positions: to the level of the ears, or to the level of the shoulders, i.e. parallel to the shoulders, and there is a narration to the level of the chest. However, the palms of the hands have to be facing the Qibla and the fingers are together. It isn't narrated that a person touches his ears, and sometimes a mistake occurs that when a person raises his hands, they only raise it to the level whereby the palms are still facing downwards, and this is incorrect. And the Prophet said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, pray as you have seen me pray. So we should attach importance to every single aspect of the prayer. Even the minor things, we should attach importance to them. From the mistakes which are occurring in the prayer are people praying with their sleeves rolled up. Or if they have long hair, their hair tied. And the sunnah is that if another person sees a person praying with his sleeves rolled up, inside the prayer you can go and you can roll down his sleeves. And this is as an advice for that person. So these are some of the mistakes which are occurring in our masjid, often out of forgetfulness or ignorance with regards to the prayer. Then there are mistakes which occur in the masjid itself. So from the mistakes which occur in the masjid is that people enter into the masjid and they will pray in the middle of the masjid. And the sunnah is that you should pray in front of a sutra. And a sutra is any object which is slightly raised, like a chair, a bench, a wall, and you pray behind it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُصَلِّ إِلَى sutra. Whenever one of you prays, pray in front of a sutra, meaning some object, preferably at the front near the wall. So even the second row, this is too far from the sutra. A person should stand forward, meaning when a person is praying alone. In the jama'ah, the imam is the sutra. The Prophet said, وَلْيَدْنِ مِنْهَا, and stand close to the sutra. From the mistakes which are taking place in the masjid is, before the prayer, the imam has not stood up and the people are standing up. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, if the prayer has been established, فَلَا تَقُومُوا حَتَّى تَرَوْنِي, they do not stand up until you see me. When you see me standing up, then stand up. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. From the mistakes which occur in the masjid is people coming to the masjid and sitting on the chairs or sitting on the floor without praying Tahiyatul Masjid. And Tahiyatul Masjid are the two raka'at which are prayed before a person sits down. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَسْجِدْ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يَرْكَعَ رَكَعَتَيْنِ. Whenever one of you enters into the masjid, do not sit down up until you have prayed two raka'at. And this is the same whether a person sits on the floor or sits on the chairs at the back. Even in Jum'ah, if the imam is giving the khutbah, the two raka'at are prayed, and also outside of the khutbah. And we have seen lately that youngsters and also elders, that many of them, they are sitting on the back, they are sitting on the chairs, playing on their phones, they haven't, for example, read Tahiyatul Masjid. And really, when a person comes into the masjid, that which is upon him is these 15 minutes that you're here, spend it in the way of Allah. So you leave your phone, and you leave the chairs, and you sit at the front, you pray Nawafil, you recite the Quran, and so on and so forth. Perhaps in our day, between work and children and family and school, we only have these 15 minutes for the sake of Allah, in which we can make a dhikr. So we should use this time, and we shouldn't be sitting in the back. And also, brothers, with respect, it doesn't look good that somebody comes from outside and sees people sitting at the back. Rather, the masjid of Ahlul Sunnah, the masjid of Ahlul Hadith, the masjid of those who follow the way of the Salaf, it should be filled with ibadah and dhikr. And even speaking about the dunya, this is permitted. And joking is permitted. And it is mentioned regarding the companions, كَانُوا يَتَحَدَّثُونَ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَيَتَبَسَّمُونَ, that sometimes they would speak about things from the jahiliyyah and they would smile or they would laugh. But it should not be excessive. And generally the first rows are filled before the last rows. And then finally we have the issue of bringing children to the masajid. The children and the women are not prevented from coming to the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "La tamna'u ima' Allahi al-masajid." Do not prevent the women from coming to the masajid. Do not prevent the female worshippers from coming to the masajid. Especially when there is dhikr, there is Quran, there is taraweeh, there is knowledge, there are lessons. And also our children, especially when they are being faced and targeted by the kuffar and by the media and atheism and kufr and bid'ah, then we should bring them to the masjid. The child who is over 7 and over 10, then he is encouraged to come to the masjid. No second opinion. The child who is above 7 and above 10, the father orders him to come to the masjid, especially over 10. The issue is the children who are under the age of 7. And even them, we shouldn't prevent them from coming to the masjid. And if something happens, one of them raises their voice or they play, we shouldn't severely rebuke them. Because perhaps you say a word, and this word, it has an everlasting effect on that 5-year-old, 6-year-old or 4-year-old. But it is the guardians who are responsible. So the advice is for the guardians and not for the children. Because the children are children. And the 5-year-old, he's a 5-year-old. But the guardian who brings the son or the daughter, advise them and speak to them. And a person has to differentiate. The father or the mother, the guardian, differentiate. That your 5-year-old, your 6-year-old, is he responsible or not? If he's going to cause problems for you, no problem. We have examples from the hadith of Hassan and Hussein, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be praying, and one of them would climb on his back, and this is in Salatul Jama'ah, they would climb on his back, and he would remain in sujood for a long time, then afterwards he would turn around, pick up his grandchild and say, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ fitna. Verily your children and your wealth, they are a fitna. And also, for example, the hadith of the woman, when her child cried, her baby cried, he was an infant, and the Prophet, he hastened his prayer, he quickened his prayer. He didn't rebuke her, he didn't rebuke the child. But these are instances in which the child is affecting you, your own self. You are in charge of your own prayer. When the child begins to affect the jama'ah or the imam or make the shwish, make disturbances upon the other people, then the guardians have to be responsible. So bring your children, keep them by your side. If you think that the child is too young and is going to cause problems on other people, then don't bring them until they are 7, when they are more mature and like this. So on both sides we have to have responsibility. From the masjid we welcome the children, we welcome the women, even if the children are young. We have to realize the time we are living in. We have to make this masjid welcome for the children, even if they are under the age of 7. If every now and again there is some disturbance, a child cries, no problem. From the side of the guardian, there has to also be responsibility. That if your child is going to cause problems for you and disturb you, no problem. But if your child is going to disturb the jama'ah, disturb the imam, then some responsibility has to be shown. Also, my brothers and sisters, you know the blessed month we are in. And that every act of goodness, it is multiplied. And from this is charity. And you all know that this masjid, this blessed masjid, bi-idhnillah, it is still in need of the qard hasna, which has to be paid off. So donate as much as you can in this virtuous month. And may Allah bless you and increase you in your wealth. Aqim as-salah.